You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I don't know everything that's going to happen in my life. Nobody does. Only God knows, you know, what's going to happen. He sees everything. I don't. I don't know every crisis that's going to hit. Sometimes you just lay awake at night worrying about all these scenarios. What if this? What if? The what ifs drive you nuts. They drive you crazy. But I know this. I know I've served God long enough. I've trusted God. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. But I've trusted God long enough, and I served Him long enough to know that no matter what happens, I know what we're going to do. Brent and I are going to believe God. We're going to trust God. All right, we'll cry. We'll hurt. You cut us, we bleed, but we're going to eventually believe God. And God has always come through. Yeah, always. He always comes through. Yeah. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Doesn't mean everything's going to line up just perfectly. We're in a fallen world. We're a broken world. We're not in heaven. Amen. But hallelujah, we got hope. Hallelujah, we got some answers.
Yes.
We got someone to run to.
Amen.
And hey, we got something on the inside, someone on the inside of us. Yeah. You know, there's a Catholic, Saint Teresa of Avila. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I don't have the luxury of a formal education, so I know a lot of words, but I just pronounce them with East Texas accents.
Sweet.
Not having the privilege of hearing a lecture, you know. I read, but I don't always pronounce things right. I think it's Avila, maybe Avila, I don't know. But she was a Catholic saint about the time of St. John of the Cross. Y'all remember St. John of the Cross? You ever heard of St. John of the Cross? Dark night of the soul. Lost you completely, I can see right now. But anyway, she said something. Skip all that. Doesn't matter who it was. Could have been Mickey Mouse. I don't know. But they said this. It was her. She said it. She said that there's more on the inside of us than there is on the outside of us. Surely you don't think we're hollow on the inside. You know, when things happen and things don't look right and things aren't going your way, just remember this. There's more on the inside of you than there is on the outside of you. And what we do when we get in the Word and we serve God and we rub shoulders with each other and iron sharpens iron and the countenance of friends sharpens the countenance of a friend, the power of fellowship, the power of encouragement, the power of provoking one another to good works and the power of church and those good things, the power of the Word and prayer. What's happening there is that God is bringing out of us stuff that's in us that we don't always see. We limit ourselves by what we see on the outside. You know, you can go have an x-ray done, and it's amazing what all's inside of you. And that doesn't even show at all. You get an MRI, and it even goes into more detail. It starts showing all the nerves and the soft tissues and everything inside of you. There's a whole lot going on physically inside of you that you're not aware of that actually keeps you alive on the outside. But I'd submit to you, scripturally speaking, there's a whole lot more spiritually inside of you. If you're a Christian, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, than anything on the outside. Just this, I think of the one scripture, 1 John 4:4, says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the world, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, granted, you got to meditate on that. You got to start seeing yourself that way. God, seeing yourself through God's eyes. You got to start seeing yourself as the Scripture says you are. You got to start believing that. You got to start living that out. Hallelujah. It takes practice. It takes effort. It takes training. It takes renewing the mind. You know, that's what Romans 12:2 says. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. Metamorpho is that Greek word. We get the word like metamorphosis. Transformers. Robots in disguise. You know, they turn into things, you know. Well, you can turn into what God wants you to be. You can turn into a forgiving person, a loving person. You can turn into a person of faith by renewing your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So it's there. It's just we hadn't been trained. We hadn't got it yet. Are you out there? And it takes God to bring it out of us. Something happened to you and something happened to me when we were born again, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you believe that.
Amen.
And what happened to you was a God thing. Wasn't a man thing, it was a God thing. Salvation is not a man thing, it's a God thing. Something God does. You got to trust, you got to believe, you know, you got to call, But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is what the Scripture says, and that's something that God does. And he did more to us than we realize. We need to do a little more spiritual examining of the process of the new birth. You know, take some spiritual x-rays and some MRIs, as it were. Are you with me? See what's really down inside there. Because I think often we give up in a situation because we're just thinking of the past and we're thinking of what's on the outside and looking at the crisis, as it were, not aware of what's going on the inside and the importance of what's on the inside. You know, last week I taught on out of Genesis 32 and Genesis 2. Genesis 32, where Jacob wrestled with God, and you know, and he said, "I won't let you go till you bless me." And the angel of the Lord said, "What is your name?" And he said, "I'm Jacob." And he says, "No, your name's Israel." And I thought that was so cool when you think about that, because without God, you don't even know who you are. So you think you're somebody, but you're not. You're not who you think you are. God knows who you are. It takes God to bring that out of you. It takes God to name you. It takes God to define who you are. You spend your whole life trying to fulfill, you know, what everybody said about you and what you said about yourself. I'm this, I'm that. And Jacob thought he was a schemer and a scammer and a supplanter. That's what the name meant. And he schemed and he scammed all of his life. And the schemer got scammed himself. But see, that's he thought he was that, but he wasn't that. He was Israel. But without an encounter in God, an encounter with God, he couldn't find out who he was. And that's kind of like we need to get in the Word to find out who we are. And then over there in Genesis, we brought out how that God, you know, after Adam named all the animals, he brought all the animals before him, and Adam named them all. Whatever Adam named them, that's what they were. But then there was still nobody that was, you know, fit for him. No helper, meet, fit for him. The Bible tells us that it was not good for man to be alone. And it says God caused a deep sleep to come upon him, and then out of Adam he brought forth woman, took one of his ribs and made woman, because she came out of man. And you begin to see there that really God has placed in us a lot of things, but it takes God to get them out of us. Amen. We walk our whole life alone without purpose, without fulfillment, without being complete. And all that time, knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm talking to Christians, all that time God has in us what we need, but we can't get it out of us. It takes God to get it out of us. Takes God to pull it out of us. See, that's why we keep coming. That's why we keep praying. That's why we keep reading. That's why we keep serving. Because God's working on us. He's revealing to us who we really are. He's bringing out of us stuff he put in us. Think about it. God put in Adam everything he needed. Adam just couldn't get it out. He was walking around alone. It wasn't good that he'd be alone. Woo! Are you out there?
Yeah.
So, you're bigger on the inside than you're on the outside. There's more on the inside than there is on the outside. And that's what I want to talk about, is getting a revelation of what's on the inside of us, who's on the inside of us, and then living out of the inside instead of the outside. You know what? We should live out of the inside. We should walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You know, the flesh wars against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. There is pulls, there's tugs, there's temptations, and the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh that continually tugs at us, and anger and bitterness and all those things come, and sin and lust, all that thing. You know, we think that's us, and what that is, that's the outside, that's the pull. That's the realm of the fallen one, Satan, pulling and tugging us. And we just give in because we're weak. We don't have a revelation of who we are, don't know what's on the inside of us. We're not living out of our insides, we're living out of our outsides, you know. We're just going by what we see, not walking by faith, just walking by sight. And God doesn't want us to live that way. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can forgive." Yes, you can. It's in there. It's deep down in there. You're going to have to dig. Maybe you hadn't been using it. Maybe you've had what they call atrophy take place. That can happen to muscles when you don't use them. It can happen to love when you don't use it. It can happen to forgiveness when you don't act on it. It can get kind of weak. But you know, one thing about therapy... One thing about exercise, one thing about working on it, you can build that muscle up again. You can build up forgiveness again. You can tap down deep inside and pull out of you what's in there, what God placed in there. And you can learn to forgive. You can live forgiveness. And you can learn to love. And you can live love. Woo! You can learn not to take offense. And you can get better at it. You can get better at it every day. Just by working out that spiritual muscle of forgiveness, as it were. Did I tell you to turn anywhere?
No.
Okay. Well, let's turn somewhere. You want to turn somewhere? Look at a scripture. I mean, sure. I've quoted several of them. Let's just turn somewhere. 2 Corinthians, that'd be good. 2 Corinthians 5, real classic scripture. You all know it. I mean, if you could quote it. See, we're in a school. We're in the school of Christ. Till Jesus comes. And I really believe we'll be learning even when we get there. I don't think we'll know it all when we get to heaven. I know, you know, some people say theologically, well, you're going to know everything when you get to heaven. No, you won't know everything. You'll know more than you know now. Which, that's not saying a whole lot. Hello. No, really. We think we know a lot more than we do. I know now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we'll know as we're known. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, I understand that. I think a lot of revelation is going to come and light's going to shine and the veil's going to fall off, but we're not going to be God, so we're not going to know everything.
Amen?
Amen. You agree with that? So I think we'll probably always be learning in some to some degree, you know. I think heaven is a live place, a place of wonder and glory and beauty and splendor, and it's an engaging place. You know, it's not a dead place. It's not where everything's already done and nothing's new and, oh, come on. It's more exciting than this place. It's more real than this place. Okay. So let's learn something about the inside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know the word. I tell you what, let's back up a little bit because I always like the way this, Paul's talking about Jesus. And in 13 verses, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of a sound mind, it is for you. And, you know, it's okay to get crazy for Jesus. That's fine. It's okay to be a nut for Jesus. Everybody's a nut for somebody. Whose nut are you? I'd rather be a nut for Jesus, amen, and crazy for Jesus, beside myself for Jesus, and a sound mind for Jesus. He said, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. Hallelujah, somebody. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. You get that? Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. And when he was speaking, there were people alive that had walked with Jesus, that had talked with Jesus. Some of the apostles were still living. Are you with me? That actually knew Jesus in the flesh. But he said, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. And that's a strong statement that he leads up into that the next verse. But, you know, I think sometimes we're very much aware of people in the flesh, and we're very much aware of who they are in the flesh, and we're very much aware of who we are in the flesh. But we're not very much aware of who we are in the Spirit. You know, I saw a billboard the other day said every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Amen. I love that. I think every saint does have a past. Every one of you have a past. But every sinner has a future. Every single sinner has a future. God sees what we can be. He sees what can be done. He sees what can happen if we'll just believe. We're just looking at what's happening, you know, instead of what can happen. And we're looking in the flesh. But he goes on and says this, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, are you in Christ? I'm there. Man, I am so there. I am in Christ. Hallelujah. I accepted Jesus. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. If anyone's in Christ, he's new creation, new creature, King James says. New creation, new King James says here. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Woo! He's talking about something other than what I look like. He's talking about something other than how many arms and legs I've got and eyes and ears and nose. He's talking something deeper than that, something outside or beyond the flesh. Isn't that right? Because he just got through making the statement, I don't know anybody according to flesh anymore. Even though I knew Christ in the flesh, I don't know him that way any longer. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's you. That's me. I'm not who I used to be. I'm somebody else now. I remember, sounds funny, here we are in Texas, and I'm from East Texas, and I remember a guy I knew very well before I got saved. I mean, when I got saved, all my friends were lost, you know, when I got saved. I didn't hang around saved people, and I didn't hang around Christians, and I didn't go to church. I mean, I was lost. So when I got saved, obviously everybody I knew was lost. I mean, I didn't get saved and know everybody in the church automatically. I didn't even get saved in church. I got saved from a guy witnessing to me, and then I went to church that weekend. But all my buddies and everybody I work with, everybody's lost. And so, naturally, I started witnessing to them. Not because I thought I was supposed to. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to. Or I just had something I was looking for. I figured they'd want it. I didn't go through a class for it or anything. I just got saved, and I wanted to share it. I want to tell somebody. They're the only people I knew. And I did my best to wear them out, you know. I remember talking to one in particular. His name was Bubba. That's the reason I said, here we are in East Texas. And I was talking to Bubba. We were working on an industrial cooling tower. I built those for years. I worked on those. It's carpenter work. And I was telling Bubba, you need to get saved. You know, you need to turn your life over to God. I found what I've been looking for all my life, Bubba. You know, I've been out with these guys. I've known these guys. I grew up with these guys, you know. And he says, Michael Williams. He said, I know you, Michael Williams. If you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. But see, he was looking at me because I didn't look any different. My eyes were a little clearer, I guess. Hello. Probably smiled a little bit more. But I still looked just like the Michael Williams that was lost before I accepted Jesus. And he was looking at me that way, and he knew my name, and he knew me that way. So to him, it didn't make any sense, because he couldn't see it that way. But I think we do the same thing to ourselves. We know ourselves in the flesh. We know ourselves in our past. We know what we've done in the past. Well, that's just the way I am, and you know, God understands. Yeah, God understands you need to repent, and you need to start seeing yourself the way He sees you. And start tapping into what He's done to you. And let Him pull out of you those things He's done in you, because you now are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things now have become new. Amen. Now, He's not talking about what's happening out here. He's talking about what happened in here. This is what's new, not what's happening outside. All of a sudden now, everything that happens to you is God. No, that's not it. What the new birth is God, and what happened in the new birth is God. And this new person you are now is of God. Are you with me? Because people often take that and say, well, now everything happens now is God. Well, that's not what he's saying at all. He was talking about the new birth. He was talking about the new creation. Ephesians 2:10, give an example. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So this new creature, this salvation thing, this new birth, this Michael Christian now, is his workmanship. It's what he did. Created in Christ Jesus. Without Jesus, couldn't happen. He was the firstborn among many brethren. He's the captain and leader of our salvation. He was the first fruits. Are you with me? You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. I love it. And we are in Christ. And what has happened to us is what God has done to us. We're a whole new thing that never was before. It wasn't before. Before you accepted Jesus, this thing hadn't happened. But now that you have accepted Jesus, now you are a Christian. See, now what's in you, what's going on inside of you, what took place there was what God did. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature of creation. Old things are passed away in your spirit now. You still got to take the garbage out. It'll smell your house up just like it did when you were lost if you don't take it out. That didn't pass away. You still got to eat. Hello. Old things have passed away. Old things inside now. I'm not lost now. I'm saved now. I'm born again now. I'm a new creature now. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. New man. New Michael Williams. Woohoo! But I still have my memories. I still have my mind. I still have this body. That's why I need to renew my mind, see? Find out who I am now. I can love now. I can forgive now. I can live holy now. He came and delivered me from my sins. I've been delivered from my sins. Not the consequence of them. Yeah, that too. But I mean, I've been delivered from my sins. or should be, technically, legally. Not practically, we're not all living that, so you can still sin and I can still sin. But he did come to deliver me from my sin. That new creature doesn't have to do that. That new creature, all that born of God and all things of God, doesn't have to. Whatsoever born of God sinneth not. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm not trying to get too technical. There's a lot of theological debate on some of those points I'm making, but I'm trying to keep it simple as I can, which is not real hard for me. Okay. Keep things simple. But we often say we can't do something. When, yes, we can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do it as a new creature in Christ. We can do it as a born-again Christian now. We can do it with the power that God put in us. We can do it with the gifts He placed in us. Woo! Man, I just don't think I could forgive that person. Well, no, without Him you can't, but see, you're not without Him. You haven't been without Him a day in your life since you got saved. You haven't been alone a day in your life since you got saved. You got to quit looking at yourself in the flesh. You need to pick up your Bible. It's like an X-ray machine. It's like an MRI. Good. It'll reveal to you things inside of you that you didn't know were there.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll show you inside of you things that God put in you. He says it. He says it's in there. It's in there. If He says you can do it, you can do it. Now, you can argue with that doctor all day long, but he'll slap that X-ray on you and say, well, there it is right there. Are you out there? I don't believe it. Well, it's right there. There's the X-ray right there. That's, you know, all liars can figure, but figures can't lie. You know, it's there. We can argue with God all day long, but it's right there. It says right there, that's what's in you. Woo!
Yeah.
Don't you say you can't do what God says you can do. Don't say you are not who God says you are. Don't say you don't have what God says you do have.
Yeah.
Y'all out there.
Yes,
but you got to look differently. You know, there's two ways of looking at things. You can look at it naturally. You can look at it spiritually. You can get the X-rays and MRIs out. Or you can just look in the flesh. Pretty limited in the flesh. You know, doctors, if they're doing anything serious to you, they need to get a little deeper into what's going on inside of you, and they'll pull out all the stops and schedule all the X-rays and MRIs and everything. I think we just hadn't scheduled a lot of internal, you know, examinations here in the Word, and we need to. We need to examine ourselves, whether it be in the faith or not, and examine what's going on inside of us, and see ourselves spiritually instead of just physically, just naturally. And that's, thank God we got the Bible, amen. Thank God we have church. So he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. See, now what's he talking about, all things are of God? This new man, this new creature. You know, in fact, we're in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, although the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Man, I tell you, when you leave this body, that's exactly what you do. You just leave this body. You are alive. You are inside this body. You're looking at me out of those eyes right now. The real you is not the body you're in. You're going to step out of this body one day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that new man, that inside man, whoo, that new man doesn't decay. That new man doesn't get old. That new man doesn't tire. That new man is renewed day by day. And that's what we ought to be centering in on. That's what we ought to be thinking about. That's the way we ought to see ourselves. There's a whole lot more on the inside of you than there is on the outside of you. And that's why we give up so quick, because we're not seeing right. We're not looking right. See, we just think we're the world. Well, we're not a human animal, okay? We're not one amongst the birds and the bees and flowers and the trees and the moon up above. No, sir. We are actually separate from creation in one respect, in the respect that God made us to oversee and rule His creation. Not to rule Him, not to be God, but to overrule His, to rule His creation. He gave us authority when He made us. He told us to subdue and conquer the world. Made the whole world, then He put us in here to overrule it, or to rule it, to subdue it, to conquer it. But we just consider ourselves just, you know, an ape, one of the dogs, Save the whales, kill the babies. Save the spotted owls. Mother Earth. Earth ain't your mama, let me tell you. No, sir. You came from God. Now, your body may have come from the dust, but not the real. You came straight from God. Straight from God. And fell, and you had to be redeemed. Thank God God didn't leave you where you were. Isn't that good? He didn't have to come. He didn't have to come messing with you. He was doing just fine. But he loved you too much to leave you where you were. And he sent Jesus to pay for your sins and my sins. And you've been born again. Now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're in a whole new family. You've got an inheritance with the saints in light. Wow. You never saw a common, normal person in your life. There's no such thing as a common person, normal person. I mean, when you look at your brother and your sister, you're looking at someone that's going to outlive this whole world, all of creation, forever and ever and ever and ever. And if you were to see them, I think I was reading this in C.S. Lewis one time years ago. He said, if you were to see your brother in Christ, if you were to see each other, even yourself, as it were, the way you're going to look with that new glorified body living forever and ever, if you had a glimpse of that as you're walking down the aisle at Brookshire's and you see so-and-so old Joe, born again Joe, in his glory, the way he's going to be forever. This is just a fleeting moment here. The real Joe. Will the real Joe please stand up? And the veil's taken away, and in the Spirit you see him and all of his splendor and all of his glory and his glorified state, the way God made him and the way God has intended for him to be. Wrong as it would be, you'd fall on your face and almost worship him like a god. And you'd be wrong to do that. And old Joe would tell you to stand back up, say, I'm just old Joe, because Joe's probably about like you, doesn't see himself that way either. Are you out there? John did it in Revelation. He fell down to worship this guy. This guy said, don't worship me. I'm just one of your brethren. One of the prophets had the testimony of Jesus. But I tell you what, it was just too much for John. I mean, it was just too much to see these beings, these, and they weren't just beings, they were people glorified. John saw Jesus in the first chapter of Revelation, fell down, the breath took it, left his body, and he fell like a dead man. Saw Jesus not after the flesh, he saw him in his glory. Well, you and I are going to have that same glory. Think about that. I'm not Jesus, I'm not God, you're not going to be God, not going to be Jesus, but you are going to be glorified. Mm. And there's something on the inside of you. There's the greater one on the inside of you. You have overcome them, my little children, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes. See, you got to work out these spiritual muscles, as it were. You got to start acting on love and acting on faith and acting on living holy and acting on overcoming sin. The devil wants to deceive you. He does not want you to see who you are. He doesn't want you to get a revelation of who you are. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep the church down. He wants to keep the church powerless. He doesn't want the church to talk about power. He doesn't want the church to talk about answered prayers, miracle signs, wonders, deliverance from diseases. He doesn't even want to talk about love. He hates that. Are you with me? You got church people that are mad about stuff. I get all upset. You know, I'm thinking about it. I get mad at them being mad. Go figure, that catch 22. But I mean, you have people in churches that are, you know, they're rightly so, they're against certain causes, maybe abortion, against homosexuality, whatever, but they're mad about it. They're hateful about it. And then you got some nutcases out there going up shooting doctors and blowing up abortion clinics. Like, that's, are you kidding me? Where's the love? Can't we stand against something and still love people? Can't we hate sin and love the sinner? Can't we say homosexuality is wrong and tell the homosexual, if you repent, we'll take you in. We love you. Jesus died for your sins. Can't we tell the woman who's had an abortion, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, you know, hey, it's wrong. You know, it's murder. But if you repent, God will take you. We'll take you. Can we do that? Can we tell the adulterer, we believe adultery is wrong? It tears up families. It ruins kids. It ruins lives. But I tell you, if you've done it and you repent before God, we'll take you. God loves you. We don't hate you. We love you. Can't we see past that? Can't we see past the flesh? And dig and, hey, get past the flesh in our life, the things that just turn our stomach, which I'm not saying I don't want to get used to. I don't want to get to the point where it doesn't bother me. Sin doesn't bother me. But I don't want hate and anger to come up. Are you out there? What does Jesus see when he sees those people? Well, let me ask you this. What did he see when he saw you? That's a good question, isn't it? I mean, really, there are things that just I detest. That goes on in the world. But I've got to be honest here and say, look, now wait a minute. I've got to see beyond that sin. Don't back down on what's sin and what's right and what's wrong. I think we've got to stand up for that. But we've got to see past the sin and see the person.
Amen.
The potential, what could be. All you got to do is look in the mirror. Isn't that right? All you got to do is look in the mirror and see what God did for you. Did it for you, do it for anybody. But that takes practice to do that. I mean, there's no question. You got to get a revelation of what's going on inside of you. All things now are of God in me, inside here, this new spirit. All things are of God, 18th verse says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I like that because really that's what we're about. We're not about driving people away. We're not about sending people to hell. We're not about that. There is a hell to gain, shun and a heaven to gain. I believe more people go to hell than heaven. And I don't have no qualms saying that. In fact, Jesus is the one that talked most about hell than anybody. But Jesus also was a man of love and, of course, God in the flesh. So he didn't send anybody to hell, but realized people were going there. But having said that, that's not our ministry. Our ministry is not to preach hell. Our ministry is to preach heaven. I believe in it. I mean, I'm going to mention it, obviously. It's in the Bible. But it's not our message. Our message is heaven. I mean, the whole world knows. I get tickled. You know, you can just name one church after another church, and in the world will tell you what those churches are against. What a sad note that the world knows what we're against. Don't have a clue what we're for. That's our fault. Man, we got to turn this thing around, amen? We got to quit fighting fire with fire and flesh with flesh, get a revelation of who we are in God, and start walking out of our spirit, start living some forgiveness, living some love, woo, living some hope, living some trust, some faith, believe in people, see value in people, see potential in people. And I tell you, it takes a while to do that. I wasn't raised that way, okay? No indictment on my parents. It's just the society we live in, the world we live in. They were raised a certain way. I was raised a certain way. You know, I mean, I remember the era I was raised in. You know, when in Center Texas, where I was raised, and Brent and I were in school, you know, black people, they ordered their food outside the Dairy Queen. They didn't come inside. And we went to movies, we went downstairs, and black people went upstairs. We went to the clinic. They had one side for the white people, and they had one side for the black people. Sad times when you think about it. It was wrong. It was just so wrong on so many accounts. But you're raised that, you don't know that. Are you with me? You just raised up that when you don't know that. And then you get to thinking about churches in terms of black churches and white churches. Oh, come on, there's no such thing as a black church and a white church. It's just the church. That's all there is.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello. And we've got to be wise enough, smart enough, spiritual enough, and hopefully mature enough to realize, you know, everything you learned in your life wasn't right. You may have been raised a certain way, but that didn't make it right just because a lot of people believe that or thought that or you thought that. I've had a learning process as a Christian. I was saved a couple of years before I even cried. I didn't know I was supposed to. You don't cry, man. You're a man. Men don't cry. Well, God just ruined that for me. Now I just cry at the drop of the hat, you know, at the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the protection of God and my kids and their accomplishments, how good they're doing. I cry over the church and, you know, I don't cry for pain. I cry for joy. I cry for, you know, just humility. Just I'm so humbled by what God does. But I wasn't raised that way. Hello. And you get even and you hold grudges. That's just the way that's God. That's what a man does, you know. That's all flesh. That's just all flesh. I still turn my head if Brent and I watch a movie and I start crying because I don't want to see me do it. But anyway, try not to watch too many chick flicks. You know, you don't want to. Anyway. But you got to see yourself differently. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. You got to look deep down on the inside of you, who you are inside, not who you are outside. See, you'll take off the limitations. You'll take off the stops. You'll take out the fear. This is a good way to live now. Because what happens is you'll start living out of your spirit. Start calling it the way God calls it. Start saying it the way God says it. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 12, chapter 34th verse? He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Out of his heart. There's something down in there waiting to come out. And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. And then he talks to those Pharisees. He says, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then he goes and he said, verily I say unto you that a man shall give account of every idle word that comes out of his mouth. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But it's interesting that as we begin to say things, we bring things out of us. Well, I want to bring out some of this all things are of God stuff, don't you? I want to bring some of this new creation stuff out of me. Not the old things that passed away. So how do I tap down in there and bring some of that out? Well, I'm going to have to start saying it, obviously. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and the good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things.
That's right.
Isn't that right? I'm going to have to renew my mind. I mean, you know, it's a big process, and I know I'm all over the map here tonight, but I'm trying to help you. Think about it. I mean, it doesn't just automatically happen. It has to be pulled out. We have to center in on it. We have to, you know, Hebrews 5, 19, is that where it is? Let's turn there real quick. Is this helping anybody tonight?
Yes.
Good. We're just having a little fireside chat. And 80 degree. And what?
I'm going to need lots of coaching.
Not lots of coaching. Yeah. I think we all do. That's okay. I mean, hey, that's a good start. We admit Hebrews 5. Yeah, Hebrews 5th chapter. Notice what it says here in the, he's getting on to him. So he's getting on to him because he wants to tell them some things. They're not able to get it. You can't get it. You know, Jesus said the same thing before. I'm not talking about y'all. Don't take that example. But Jesus said, I got many things to say to you, but you're not able to hear it, you know. Or Paul said that. And Jesus many times would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And here's Paul talking to the Hebrews, or Paul, the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was, whether it was Paul or whoever you think it is, said, I've got some things that, some meat, but you're not ready, you need milk. And then he goes down and he says this, he says, 13th verse, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age or mature, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if you want to start tapping into what's on the inside of you, you need to start doing it little by little. Maybe just a little. Maybe you ought to just be a little nice tomorrow. Just try. Okay. And then you do that more often, and you'll get better at it. I mean, you know what a doctor will tell you? He'll go in there and he'll give you that X-ray or he'll give you the MRI and he'll look at it and he'll say, okay, this is what's wrong, this is wrong. Okay, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to operate, or we're going to do this, or we're going to give you this medicine or whatever. And I'm going to have to put you in therapy here. We're going to have to start working. You need to strengthen these muscles here, and you're going to have to get in therapy, and we're going to teach you how to use this muscle, and we're going to teach you to go through some certain, you know, I wish Dr. Burr was here. He would really explain this to you easy. We're going to work this muscle because you've let this thing atrophy. You've let it deteriorate. And so, but we can, that's okay. We can build it back up. We can start using it. Not going to do a whole lot right at first. We're going to do a little bit here. And then each time you come, we'll just add a little more. And then we'll teach you some more exercises. And the more you use this thing, see, the stronger you're going to get. Because really, you got it. It's in you, baby. You just haven't been using it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. You've been sitting on that couch. Oh, yeah, one more bag of potato chips. No, come on, you got to quit it. Got to stop that. Got to get up. Got to move around. Got to do something. You got to use. Because, see, you lose abilities by not constant use. Now, he's talking spiritually here, and we're talking about who you are on the inside. And we're talking about tapping into what's on the inside. Well, I'll tell you, you're going to have to start make conscious effort. Be nice. Forgive. Praise people. Encourage people.
Yes.
Quit talking about yourself. Hello?
Yeah.
not going to happen overnight. Come on, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to get in the gym and be benching 500 pounds. Not going to happen. No, no, no. But if you can just start with a bar, just get the bar. Do that for a while, and we'll put a little weight on there, okay? Then little by little, by reason of use, see, notice what it says here. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised yes. to discern both good and evil. You'll get better at this thing, loving people. You'll get better at this living holy thing, see, living holy. Because you'll start doing it in the little things. See, because we pay no attention to little things, we fall for big things. And we got to start with, first of all, let's get in the Word. Let's find out who we are. Let's find out what's on the inside of us. Man, there's more on the inside than there is on the outside. There's more love down there than you're using right now. I can tell you that right now. I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm just saying. There's more forgiveness in you than you've been taking advantage of. There's more faith down in you than you've been using. Me too. Me too. It's there. God put it in us. We've got to work with God to get this out of us. We've got to start walking in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, we're not in a vacuum here. We don't just stop sinning. You don't stop sinning. You replace sin. You don't just stop hate. You replace hate. You don't stop bitterness. You replace it. You repent of it and you replace it with love. Are you with me? Holy living. Pray, seek, help some, bless someone, reach out to someone, get in the Word. You know, you don't live in a vacuum. That's not what God's saying. I think sometimes we think we're just delivered to be delivered. We're not delivered to be delivered. We're delivered to serve. We're delivered to develop. We're delivered to grow. I think it's interesting, you know, I was reading the other day about David. You know, when David, he put all that money aside and took all those offerings to build the temple, God wouldn't let him build the temple because he was a man of war, and his hands were bloody, is what he says. And so he wanted a man of peace to build his temple. And he wouldn't allow David to build his temple. But he let him get plans together. He let him, you know, get the money together. Then Solomon comes along, and Solomon, he contacts King of Tyre, Hiram, the king of Tyre. They were good buddies. Him and David were good buddies. And so Solomon says, I want to be a homie just like David was, you know, trying to get this down so we can understand it. And I got half of y'all, but anyway. He said, I won't be a friend like Dad was a friend. You know, I want that peace. And he said, we're going to build this temple. And I know Dad's talked to you about it. I'm paraphrasing greatly here. You know, I need some cedars of Lebanon. I need all this thing. And he said this. I thought it was awesome. He said, God gave David all these victories so that we could build this temple. And I don't know, it just jumped at me when I read that. God gives us victory so we can build. He doesn't give us victory just to, woohoo, throw a party, I've got the victory. He gives me victory so I can build on that victory.
Amen.
And see, until I get the victory, I can't build.
That's good.
Because I'm too busy fighting. I'm too busy fighting this bitterness. I'm too busy fighting this anger. I'm too busy fighting this sin. And God wants me to get the victory over all this so that He can really get me doing things He really wants me to do.
Amen.
So we can start building the kingdom. Start building the calling, the destiny, the ministry He has for me and you and this church and this city. Until if we don't get the victory, we're the blind leading the blind, we'll both fall in the ditch. But we get the victory so we can build.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Amen. But without some X-rays here, we don't know what's going on down in there. Don't realize all that stuff's down in there. There's a lot of good stuff down in here. It's staggering what God put down inside of us. It is mind-boggling what He put down in there, those great and precious promises by which we can partake of the very nature of God. That's what 2 Peter says, first chapter. Those great promises, that great work He's already done. That past tense fact, by His stripes we were healed. Let's dig in there and get some of that healing. I need some of that. Amen? Oh, man, that's just, whew, I don't know about you, I preach myself happy tonight. I just... That's good stuff. But that's who we need to meditate on, is who God made us. Not who the world made us, not who our parents made us. God bless you, parents. I'm not saying that. But not who you are in the natural, not who you are race-wise, not who you are, occupationally, but who you are, who God made you.
Yeah.
New creature.